What's up and welcome to the Single Player Experience, the podcast that helps single player gamers manage their video game backlog. I'm your host, Sebastian Malden, and my main quest is to help you manage your ever-growing video game backlog by letting you know which single player games are worth your time and money so that you can have the best single player experience. This episode is the Single Player Experience Weekly Recap. This is where I batch together all the video games that were talked about during the week into one episode that you can get every single Friday. Now, let's start the show. We all know that being a gamer is a lifestyle. We also know that gaming as a single-player gamer comes with its own set of problems. We have to worry about if a game is worth our time, if a game is worth its price tag, not to mention the backlog of games that seem like an ever-growing boss fight that we just can't win. Enter the single-player experience, the video game podcast designed for the solo gamers who want to know about good single-player experiences. My name is Sebastian Malden, I've played hundreds of games, and now I'm a video game reviewer who specializes in single-player games. I know what you may be asking right now. Why do I like playing games solo? Why make a podcast focused only on single-player games? And how did you manage your video game backlog? Well, like many of you, I play video games as a way to relax or as a way to do things that just aren't possible in the real world. Growing up, I played games like Knights of the Old Republic and Kingdom Hearts, and those experiences changed me. I realized that these types of games are like other story-centric mediums that I enjoy, like anime, movies, and comic books. Single-player games are just simply special. But that realization came with its own set of problems, for you see, games kept coming out one after another. Games also became more expensive, and as life happens, my time to actually play games got shorter and shorter. Honestly, I really didn't know what to do because these single-player games, experiencing all these rich stories, are a part of my lifestyle. It's a part of who I am. It's my passion. And just when I thought all hope was lost, that I would constantly keep going in a flow of a gigantic backlog of games that I would never get to, my superpower came. And no, sadly, I didn't get bit by a radioactive spider or become a billionaire that would fight crime like Batman. No, just like Nick Fury once said, there was an idea. I created a template for myself called the Main Quest List. With this list, I listed out 10 games that I really wanted to play, and those were going to be my priority. By doing this method, I was able to play and complete 50 games last year. That video game backlog that once felt like this big giant boss fight that I just couldn't overcome didn't quite feel like that anymore. It felt like something I was able to easily manage. It's really helped me level up as a gamer, and now I want to help you level up as well. Every Tuesday and Thursday, this show is going to break down the latest games. It's going to give you our power rankings for the games that are released this year. And I'm going to tell you about older games you should definitely go back and play if you haven't already. So, if you're a gamer who wants to level up and know what single-player experiences are worth your time, your money, and which ones are worth putting on your backlog list, then you're in the right spot because this show is designed to help you manage your video game backlog so that you can have the best single-player experience. Do you remember the last time you played a game that spoke to you on every level? A game that you could really relate with? A game that honestly made you feel like it was made just for you? I've always felt like I can completely immerse myself in the narrative of a video game. I can always place myself in the shoes of the main character. That said, I never felt properly represented in a video game. That is until recently. Recently, I played two games that made me feel like I was represented and provided me with a gaming experience that honestly, I don't know if I'm ever gonna forget. These two games hit me so hard and now are some of my all-time favorite experiences as a gamer. In this episode, I'm gonna tell you about these two games. I'm gonna tell you why they resonated with me so hard and why both games, if they're in your preferred genre, should be games that you should have in your video game backlog. Now, without further ado, let's get started. I had two of my all-time favorite experiences as a gamer. The two games that gave me these experiences were Spider-Man Miles Morales, which you can play on the PS5, the PS4, and the PC, and Deathloop, which is playable on the Xbox Series S and X and the PS5. So listen, I didn't expect these games to resonate with me as hard as they do going into playing them. Sure, I expected to have a good time. I for sure thought I was going to have fun playing them, but I didn't think I was going to have this Hall of Fame level experience like I ended up having. Here's why these games hit me so hard. I've been a gamer for as long as I can remember. I've had many experiences as a gamer, from the highs of saving the galaxy in Halo and Mass Effect to the lows of getting my ass whooped in Elden Ring. I know y'all feel me on that one. I felt many emotions as a gamer, but none like the first time I saw someone who looked like me in a video game. Let me explain. I'm a chocolate man, and I know what you're thinking. Man, what is he talking about? There's been plenty of black people in games. Yeah, that's true, but none of them have ever had that fresh fade like Miles Morales in his game. None of them. I kid you not, I've never seen a black man's hair done so well before. NBA 2K was the closest I've ever seen, and I feel like it's always missing that detail. The edge-ups and the details on 2K always look rough, and to be honest, it looks like someone who wasn't black designed them. It's not like that in Spider-Man Miles Morales. His hair looks so damn crisp. It's like they did a focus group in a black barbershop. I'm joking, but it really does look that crisp. And I know what some of you might be thinking. Man, it's just hair. Why does it matter? Let me tell you why. In games where you can create your own character, most people create characters that look like themselves. It's the way that a lot of people immerse themselves into a game. For a black person, for black people, especially black males, we usually only have three choices. The low janky hair with a bad hairline, the dreads, or an afro. And if we're lucky, we might get some dusty looking cornrows. The problem with these choices are as follows. The low hair never looks good, and it doesn't look like a black man's haircut. The dreads are kinda okay, but I can't really complain too much about those, to be honest. But the cornrows always look bad. It always looks like low res textures or weird designs on top of your character's heads. Then there's the mediocre looking afro. For many, the afro is a symbol of affirmative action in the civil rights movement. Those hairstyles are usually the only ones we get, and then they're done so poorly in games. To be honest, over the years, I just became numb to it. I accepted the fact that black characters in games would always look janky unless they had a basketball in their hands. Then Spider-Man, Miles Morales, and Deathloop came around. Both games starred chocolate men who were the main characters. Both men had good black hair, and I'm not gonna lie, I had a phenomenal time playing these games. Not just because both games marked the first time I got to play as a main character who looked like me, but also because they're great games. I'd highly recommend both games. I bring this up to say, representation matters. It matters in life, but I'll focus on video games here. It means a lot to have main characters in games that reflect different types of people because there are so many different types of people in the world. Don't get mad that video games are getting quote unquote too woke or diverse. You truly don't know how much a character could mean to someone. I know for me, Miles Morales and Deathloop mean the world to me. If you don't feel like you can personally connect with the main character or that you don't vibe with the story a game is trying to tell, then perhaps that game isn't for you. That's okay. There's plenty of games out there and more are being made every single day. You will find games that will speak to you. I promise you, you will. So I can easily say that playing these two games are among my all-time favorite experiences as a gamer. I went from a person who accepted that black people would always look rough in video games to a person who's slightly hopeful towards the future. It's not just a phrase or a hashtag. Representation matters in video games. So I talked about why these games matter to me on the surface, why these games really resonate with me, but I want to tell you why you should play these games, even if you're not a person of color. Spider-Man Miles Morales, let's start there. Spider-Man Miles Morales is a very good action-adventure superhero game where you can wander around the streets of New York. If you played the first Spider-Man game, this is basically a spinoff of that. It's a shorter experience, whereas the original Spider-Man game was anywhere from 30 hours to 80 hours, depending on how you played. This is a lot different. This is a shorter, nuanced experience. The whole story, and quite frankly, even the side quests, can be beaten within 8 to 12 hours. This game is perfect for those gamers that really want to play a shorter, high-quality experience. Here are some pros, and here are some reasons why I think you should play this game. First of all, the traversal. If you play the first Spider-Man game, you already know what I'm talking about. If you haven't, though, Spider-Man feels good to swing around in. The traversal, the way you move around New York, feels good. It feels realistic. For the first time ever, I feel like a video game truly captures what it means to like really swing around New York as Spider-Man. Let me give you an example. The map is big. It is like the island of Manhattan. and it feels really good to swing around with, so much so that even if a mission is on the other side of a map, I don't mind swinging to it as opposed to doing the quick travel mechanic. That's how good it feels to just swing around the city. Man, swinging around the streets in New York feels almost therapeutic. There's a fondness there that I haven't felt since I played Tony Hawk back in the day, where I would pick up the controller and just like skate around trying to do a couple of tricks here or there. Swinging around as Spider-Man has that exact same vibe. Speaking of gameplay, another aspect of the gameplay that is really the chef's kiss is the combat. The combat is almost like a variation of the Arkham combat from back in the day, the free-flowing combat, and that is so good because that combat style really never gets tiring or boring. It feels fun to beat up bad guys. You can propel them up in the air. You can use your like gadgets and your special moves to kind of like amp up combos. Everything about the combat feels fast, fun, and really it feels like it has that impactful crunch that you like out of like beating up bad guys. If you're a person who values combo combat, then this game is going to deliver what you're looking for in spades. Everything from the punching, the kicking, the dodging, and the super moves all feel like they're well designed and well done. And honestly, you always feel like you're in control of the combat here. Honestly, one of the biggest pros about Miles Morales is the music. Everything about it is aesthetically pleasing. The soundtrack is one of the best I've ever heard in a video game. Its aesthetic quality really just magnifies everything that goes on around it. I really love how it took the original game Spider-Man's score and remixed it and gave it that flavor. Just like Miles Morales is kind of like a remix, a hip-hop version of Peter Parker. So I really liked that. Speaking of something that I really like, I really love the story of this game. It's a smaller scale story and it feels very intimate. Instead of it being a typical generic like end of the world threat, it feels like a neighborhood problem, and this whole story feels like it's contained in the Harlem DNA. And the villain really feels like it's centric around that as well. It doesn't feel like this big magnifying Thanos level villain, and no, instead it feels like a villain that's core to this community and to the story it's trying to tell. So it really feels like the story is more precise and to the point. If you're a fan of side quests in games, then this game's got side quests for you that are more direct, as opposed to the original Spider-Man game where they had side quests just for the sake of having them. This game doesn't have that bloat to it. Everything feels like it has a point, or even the side quests that don't necessarily feel core to the story, or even like the main side story, the B plot, it still feels like it's involved in the community around you. And then there's the main character, Miles Morales, and his supporting cast. This game tells a very real, enriching story about Miles Morales that even me as a comic book reader really appreciated because it felt original. Overall, this is a fun single-player experience that won't take very long. This game respects your time. It gives you really solid action, it gives you a good narrative, and it just gives you a real cool sense of what it's like to be Miles Morales. So I definitely think you should have this in your video game backlog if you haven't played this already. If you have a PS4, a PS5, or a PC, this one should be in your collection. The next game I want to highlight for you is Deathloop. Deathloop is an action-adventure murder loop puzzle game. You play as Colt, a brother who wakes up on a beach with no memory of how he got there. You quickly learn that everything is not what it seems because you're stuck in a Groundhog Day time loop, where every day is pretty much the same old, same old. When you reach the end of the day, or if you die before that day is up, you pretty much restart right at the beginning of the day. On paper, that kind of sounds like it would be boring and kind of get repetitive fast, but evidence in the contrary, this game is so much fun and it has layers on top of layers for you to discover. Each day is kind of split into four different sections. You have the nighttime, the afternoon, the morning, and the noontime. And you kind of go through different sections of the map. There are different like locations that you can go to. And depending on the time of day that you go, that place is completely different because events haven't happened yet. Let me give you an example. There's a section of the map that you can go to very early in the game. The game encourages you to go to this point, and you start off that section in the morning time. But if you go to that section later on in the game at nighttime, everything's completely different. The scenery is still the same, but characters, the way like the people are celebrating, the places where like game AI are congregating are going to be completely different. There's different occurrences and events happening because it's a different time of the day. And that's just one example of how intricate this game actually is. Another pro of this game is the way it tells this story. You playing as Colt remember each day. So when you pick up little pieces of information or you pick up different puzzle pieces that help you try to figure out how to kill all the visionaries in a single day, you remember all that information. You not only learn the visionaries' routines, but you learn some of the in and outs of the game map and how the world works and how that world changes as each day kind of goes by depending on what time of day it is. And you use that knowledge to your advantage. Now let's talk about the combat, the gameplay. All that feels good. It feels like your standard shooter. It kind of feels like a cross between 007 and Hitman. If you play the Dishonored games, Dishonored 1 and 2, you get how this game kind of plays. For the people who haven't played Dishonored, this plays like a first-person shooter mixed in with supernatural abilities and really cool gadgets for you to play. You can use all these things at your disposal to either avoid enemies altogether, take them out in unique and complex ways, or just mow them down on your way to your goal. The gameplay is tight. It feels responsive. There is kind of that Bethesda jankiness there, but I feel like it's lesser here than it was in games like Elder Scrolls or even Fallout. There are so many weapons and abilities to try that this game never really feels like it gets old. You take all that and then you add to the fact that these characters feel like real representations of people. They feel like real people. They're over the top, don't get me wrong, but they feel realistic. So the people around you feel like real, living, breathing, flawed individuals. And the characters really have incredible dialogue. There are many times when I am sneaking behind an enemy and I hear one of the characters on the intercom and it just makes me hard chuckle. Many a times it made me laugh so hard that I accidentally messed up my stealth kill. So, is this a game that you should add to your backlog? I think that question depends on if you like stealth meets action games. If that's your bag of tea and you like the first person visuals, then this game is going to be for you. If you don't enjoy puzzle games or enjoy games from that first person perspective, then this isn't going to be a game for you. Overall, I think Deathloop is a game you should definitely check out. If you're on Xbox, this is currently on Xbox Game Pass, so definitely check it out if you're on Xbox. On the PlayStation side, I'd still recommend it. It is an absolute blast, and it feels really good to play with the DualSense controller. Overall, this game takes about 13 to 40 hours to beat. It really depends on you and how quickly you figure out the puzzle. This game is perfect for those people who want to casually play a game or want to play a game with a very meaty story. As I stared into his brown eyes, I knew my life would never be the same again. For you see, my wife and I got a puppy, a white and brown labradoodle that we named Biscuit. I've never been a pet person. I had nothing against it, but that lifestyle never really appealed to me. Sure, I heard great things about them, but honestly, it sounded overrated to me. But my wife was determined. She was adamant that this dog would better our lives, or for sure hers. Potato, potato, right? To no one's surprise, there was a huge learning curve for being a first-time dog owner. This shit ain't for the weak, man. He tested me. In the beginning, there were many times where I wondered if this was for me. But I hung in there, and now it's a journey that I'll always remember fondly. The same year that we got Biscuit, I had the exact same experience in video games. There was a game that I tried out. I didn't think it was going to be for me. It was a part of a franchise that I had never tried but always felt like it was overrated. It didn't grab me at first, but just like with Biscuit, I hung in there. Just like with Biscuit, this game provided me with a journey that will stick with me. So, what is this game? Let's get right into it. So, the game that I was referring to in the intro is Yakuza Like a Dragon. Yakuza Like a Dragon takes a mixture of the wackiness and seriousness that the Yakuza series is known for and puts it into a turn-based RPG. It was a gamble that drew me in. When I first heard about this game, I was like, so now this is Pokemon, but with adults using weapons to fight basically sumos, gangsters, and hobos? Where do I sign up? That's dope. And at first, this game kind of came out of the block slow for me. I really didn't get into it until about 3 hours into the game, mostly because this game has an unnecessarily long prologue. After that, I was hooked, the same way that I used to be hooked on Pokemon Red and Blue. Yakuza Like a Dragon stars Ichiban, who's a Yakuza gang member who takes a prison sentence for a crime that he never committed. He gets out years later and finds out that the Yakuza family that he loved was destroyed by the man he respected the most. This sets him on a quest that's full of silliness and also full of heavy and heartfelt moments. The story touches on topics like pride, loyalty, love, honor, and friendship in a way that most story-based games dream of. This was one of the best and deepest RPG adventures that I've played in recent years. Just like Pokemon, you have a team that you have to manage, and each type of enemy and team member has their own strengths and weaknesses. On top of that, you can also customize your team members' gear, like their armor and their weapons. Another thing you can customize about your team members is the jobs that they have. If you have a member of your team that you don't like the way that they fight, such as like their strengths or the weaknesses or even the weapons they can equip, you can change the jobs that they know about. You can change their job class, and it changes the whole character completely. Whereas before, your character might have been a chef who likes to basically spit fire, you can change him into a breakdancer, and now he has a completely different moveset with its own strengths and weaknesses. It's the little things like that that make this game feel like it has a lot of replay value and a lot of deep RPG elements to it. If you get stuck on a boss level, you can come at it in a completely different way by changing the job that you have, and now you have completely different strengths and weaknesses. You might have a couple more healers on your team versus the brutes that you had beforehand. So the way you play the game can change over time, and that adds so much replayability to this game. Another plus of Yakuza Like a Dragon is the amount of side content that this game possesses. You have tons, and I mean tons, of minigames and side quests that you can do, some of which feel fleshed out enough to be their own smaller game. The business management game, for instance, is a fun and deep side quest that allows you to own a corporation and make it into the number one business in the country. This alone feels like a 6 to 8 hour detour that adds a whole lot of depth to the game. One of the biggest points in this game's favor is a solid narrative. Everything feels like it has a purpose. Even the silly moments all feel like they compound and add to the greater story around the game. Not gonna lie to you, the story is a long one, and it does get a little far-fetched at the ending, but I think this is a journey worth experiencing. The main quest is a solid one, but it's the characters that will have you invested in this world. Ichiban and the other characters that he meets and interacts with expertly walk the narrow line between feeling like they're larger-than-life characters and real people with real problems and complex emotions. Overall, I put in about 100 hours into this game, and even though I've rolled credits, I know that I haven't even scratched the surface as far as experiencing everything this game has to offer. This was my first Yakuza game, and the sequel to this game is already amongst the top of my must-play gaming wish list. Even if you don't like turn-based games, I'd still recommend that you try this gem out. Yakuza Like a Dragon is that damn good. So, that is the game recommendation of the week and why I feel like you should consider adding Yakuza Like a Dragon to your backlog list. So, those are the video game recommendations of the week that you should consider adding to your video game backlog list. If you want me or my community of gamers to give you feedback on your backlog list, then join us in the Single Player Experience Discord server. Once you're in, feel free to share your backlog list or talk about good single player game experiences that you've had lately. The link to join the free Single Player Experience Discord server is in the show notes. This has been the Single Player Experience Weekly Recap episode, where I break down every single game that was talked about during the week. It comes to you every single Friday, and I hope to catch you next Friday for the next week's recap episode. Thank you so much for listening, and I'll catch you in the next one. Peace.